morning. I love how God's speaking to people. It's really good. Really good, isn't it? So this morning, I'm looking at the value of valuing our emotional and mental health. And this image obviously is like, you know, like there's like a bit of a focus on the brain there. But our emotional health and our mental health is actually affects like all of us, you know. So you know, you feel things, don't you? You don't feel things here, even though that picture's got your head there. You know, the whole body is involved in this. And Andrew last week spoke about our physical health, taking care of our physical health, and the two are very closely linked, as he said. And I will look at some definitions about emotional health and mental health later. Now, when I was praying about it, it was like, you know, I'm not speaking at a conference about, you know, mental health awareness or whatever, but I'm speaking to you, you know, speaking to you guys and whoever might happen to listen to it. So when I was praying, I was like, what do you want to say to us guys, you know? So some of it is some general understanding, and some of it is some other aspects. And because it's such a huge and complicated topic, there are so many routes that could have gone down, really. So there's no way will I cover everything that even we just need to know. So see this more as a prompt, really, as a taster, really. And it's important for us to understand, like, the scripture's view of people. You know, because, like, if you start looking at kind of avenues for how people become emotionally healthy and mentally well and all those sorts of things, most of it, you know, it taps into other philosophies and other religions and other ways of thinking. Even the concept of well-being taps into Greek philosophy. And I'm not saying we shouldn't have well-being, but there are all kinds of different ways of thinking, different ways of looking at the subject. Now, some of those things are universally true, actually. So they're universally true, so they're through scripture as well. But our starting point really should be the Word of God and God's view of people. And so that's where I wanted to start. So the Hebrew scripture's view of the person is as a whole human. Nefesh is the word that's used, and it means the whole person. There's no concept of a brain, really. I'm sure that, I mean, the new brains existed, but not really what they did so much. And the idea of nefesh is linked with the idea of the heart, which is on the next slide, I think. Which is the lev or leb, is the Hebrew word. And this concept of the heart is the whole person. So all those verses that refer to the heart are referring to the whole person. And sometimes there are different aspects of the whole person which are pulled out, but it's all connected. So the leb, or lev, is the seat of our thoughts. It's the seat of our emotions. It's physical, and it's not talking about this, you know, physical heart here, but just our physicality. And choices as well, the choices that we make are linked to the heart. So it's where we think, feel, physically are, and where we choose. And the idea continues into the New Testament. And our bodies are valued as temples of the indwelling Holy Spirit, which, again, Andrew spoke about last week. But we aren't just hosts for something that happens to be living in us. Our bodies are who we are. Our bodies are part of who we are. And that separation of, you know, you've got a body and you've got a soul, that's a really Greek idea, and it's not biblical at all. It's untrue. It's untrue. You know, like your body doesn't matter, but your soul really does. Well, that's actually not true. It's important to care for our body, as Andrew said, but the integrated whole person, you know, body and everything else, it matters. You matter. The whole of you matters. And when we go on, when we resurrected, we have a body. We don't resurrect as some Casper the Ghost, you know, or we don't resurrect as just a soul. That's not the biblical idea. Jesus resurrected with a body. So it's important that we see that here matters. Now, it's tricky because, you know, when we talk about emotions and stuff, you can't put your finger on an emotion. You know, you can't see an emotion, can you? But we're all connected. And this idea of the whole is linked, and I've spoken about this before, to this idea of shalom, which is wholeness, peace, which comes from wholeness. And it is, actually, it is to do with integration. And it's connected to the idea of in God's ultimate plan in Ephesians, which is to bring all things in heaven and earth and all creation together under one head, which is Christ. So as that's his big plan. So everything else is that plan in microcosm. What he's doing in us is the same thing, bringing everything together under one head, which is Christ, integrated together. And that brings peace. That brings peace. It brings wholeness. Now, I know we've got another point, you know, talk about how we value that wholeness, you know, pursuing wholeness, if you like. But it's pursuing Christ, pursuing the Lord brings wholeness. So true peace is the end of fragmentation. And if you imagine, I know it sounds a bit weird because you're thinking, well, like, what's this got to do with just me and my emotional health? But at the end of all things, the end of, you know, when the big plan comes together, at the moment, what's creation doing? What's the noise that's, everybody knows the answer to this. What's the noise that creation's making right now? Groaning. It's like, oh! It's like, it's not here yet. Sorry, nobody likes a groan, do they? It's a bit embarrassing. Groans are embarrassing, aren't they? But tells us to groan in our prayer. Do you do that? It's like, oh, so frustrating. It's like, but it is. But it's not like anger kind of like, you know, losing the plot. It's like, oh, we're just longing for this all to come together. We've all this bad stuff. We don't want any more of that. The good stuff we want. You know, it's like, and this longing and this groaning. So when it all comes together, what noise do you think creation will make then? Oh. Do you know what I think? It doesn't say in scripture. I've just added that bit in. But I kind of think if there's groaning, then when there's satisfaction, when there's kind of relief, and the big smile, you know, that's what it is. It's like relief. But what it is it's resolution. Is what it is. It's resolution. Now, all that I know is big, but we're talking about the heart. But that's like the goal. Now, seeking bits of resolution here and there, yeah, may well do a good work. But ultimately, we know that it's the Lord. You know, it's seeking the Lord. It says in Proverbs 4:23, watch over your heart with all diligence, for from it flow the springs of life. So sometimes people talk about this verse almost like morally, you know, make sure you don't let, you know, sin in, kick sin out. And it's, no, that's true. It's not true. it is true, but it's bigger. It's bigger than that. It's bigger than that. And there are many things in this world that frazzle us and impact our emotional health. And some of them come from the outside. Now, I don't have as much control over the things that come at me from the outside. You know, I might have some, like if it's raining, I can put it on my umbrella. You know, so that sometimes there are certain things you can do that stop the impact of certain things from the outside. But they're generally, you know, like there's not much I can do about Vladimir Putin, you know. There's not a lot I can do. I can say I don't like Vladimir Putin and I can sign a petition saying I don't agree with the war or whatever. You know, so there's things I can do, but, you know, but there's big things, aren't there, sometimes we can't, don't feel like we can do much about. We can pray about them, but the things that come and affect us. I couldn't stop the pandemic. I tried, you know, but it didn't work. So there are things that come up from the outside, events, experiences, difficulties that will impact us. And there are some things that come from within us, from within our biology even, from within our psychology, from the way we are wired, from the things that have been affected within us. And there's an interplay with the outside and the inside. There's an interplay. And it's not so black and white, like, you know, I just am what I was brought up as and I will always be that, or this thing affected me then and I will always be impacted by it, or, you know, I was just born like that, you know, those kinds of things. It's not so straightforward as, like, it's either this or that. There's not a lot of things in this world which are binary. Not a lot. There are some, but it's more complicated than that. But some of the things within us, which we'll touch on today, we do have some control over. We can make certain choices. And knowing greater levels of peace brings greater levels of joy, and God intends this for us, even though just living here can bring challenges. Now, why should we value our emotional health? Well, not just because it helps us, but because we're valued, and we've been talking about this today, we have a Heavenly Father who loves us and values us. And because He does, it's okay for us to value our own self. And that's not the same thing as worshipping ourselves, which some people will go that far. Like, whatever I want goes. And stuff you, you know, because it's for my mental health, so, you know, on your bike. You know, it's like, it doesn't work like that. But valuing yourself and caring for yourself is important, not the same as worshipping yourself, or loving yourself more than other people. Because it says both in the Old and the New Testament, love your neighbour as yourself. God says that. We are deeply loved. John 15:13. Greater love has no one than this, that he lay down his life for his friends. So Jesus demonstrated this truth. That's one of those things you just can't get your head around, really. That he would value you, even though you weren't there 2,000 years ago. He would value you so much that he would say, well, I will take on the powers which would want to crush you. I will take on the death which would want to see you off forever. I will take on the sin which would prevent you from coming into the presence of God. I will take all of that on so that you can go the same way. So he goes first, and then that means we go the same way. But that meant he had to die. But that death, even that suffering, the things that the power that was wanting to come, that the world would normally use to crush people, that power doesn't crush us. And what it says is, because you went that way, because he went that way, because he resurrected, because he got the new body, And because he's seated at the right hand, and I'm off script, but I know I've said it before, but we have to hear this, that that is also true of us. That whatever crushes us here cannot touch you here. Cannot touch you here. Cannot touch you here. That's why it says, don't be afraid of whoever can destroy the body here. Because he can't touch this. They can't touch resurrected you. And you, there's already, you are already resurrected, but not fully, which is why you've got the down payment now of the Holy Spirit, which says, yeah, this is the down payment on your resurrection. So we are deeply loved. He's laid down his life for his friends. We're his friends. He demonstrated it. Your life he laid it down for. You're worth something. In fact, he says, you're worth everything to me. You're worth everything to me. So don't be thinking that you don't. Go to the next slide, please. Sparrows are pretty important. My hedges, or our hedges, full of sparrows. There was a sparrow shortage, I don't know if you call it that, at one point. But there seems to be a bit of a sparrow boom going on at the moment. So there's plenty of sparrows around. I'm not an ornithologist, so somebody could put me right on that. So it says here in Matthew 10:29-31, are not two sparrows sold for a penny? I want some of you who are in retail, I want you to think about these next verses. Are not two sparrows sold for a penny? Yet not one of them will fall to the ground apart from the will of your Father, and even the very hairs of your head are all numbered. So don't be afraid. And that's actually when he's talking about the stuff I was talking to you about before. You are worth more than many sparrows. And in another version it says a whole flock of sparrows, Luke 12:6-7. Are not five sparrows sold for 2 pennies? Hang on. Did anyone spot that? Yeah. Buy 4 sparrows, get 1 free. That's what that is. Yet not one of them is forgotten by God. Indeed, the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Don't be afraid. You are worth more than many sparrows. Or a whole flock even. Not forgotten, more valuable. So let's look at the next slide. So what's emotional health? Not the same as mental health, but mental health is an umbrella which includes emotional health. So whilst the two terms are used interchangeably, emotional health focuses on being in tune with our emotions, vulnerability and authenticity. And having good emotional health is a fundamental aspect of fostering resilience, self-awareness, and overall contentment. The next slide, please. So, I mean, there are lots of ways of sort of separating these things out, and it's like the separate but not separate. I know you can read, because you're not 3. Yeah, they can go on the thingy, me Bob. Okay. So our mental health kind of is affecting our cognition more as well. So it thinks it's there's more concerns going on there about your cognition, you know, even though there's overlaps and what have you. Yeah, I'm just going to leave that. And mental ill health. Oh, no, actually, just look at this one, actually. Yeah, so mental ill health is this end here. And it's not exhaustive, you know, but where you might be distressed and have poor coping skills, have a sense of hopelessness, which lasts, you know, might feel disconnected, might have angry outbursts. Don't have to have all of these things. It's just like, you know, they might touch on these things. Sleeping too much or too little, excessive anxiety and worry, pervasive sadness, or you might withdraw from other people. So that's kind of like that end, and that's this end here, where a mentally healthy individual might be more resilient, have strong coping skills, be resourceful, have positive relationships, as in there's relationships which are doing them good and they can put something positive into other people. Your mood fluctuations are just regular. So like somebody dies, you're going to be sad. You know, everybody will. It doesn't mean you're mentally ill. It just means you're sad. Energized in a kind of regular kind of a way again. It's difficult to make these definitions really. Able to manage challenges and socially engaged. And that's not really to do with whether you're introvert or extrovert. So, but we're all going to be, you know, somewhere along here. Now, it's mobile as well, actually. So if you just put the other slide up. So this the quadrants here are kind of, you know, we can be, it's a dynamic model, this. So you can be sort of flourishing well-being-wise up here or lower down here. You might be what sometimes people call languishing. Here, you might actually have a diagnosable mental health condition. And here, you might not have a diagnosable mental health condition. However, if you have a mental health condition, you can still flourish. And if you don't have one, you can still be not flourishing, you know. But like I said, there's a mobility here. It's not like, here I am, and this is where I forever stay. There's a dynamic. Now, I've only given you this for your information, really, so we'll take that off. So the reason we want to value our emotional well-being is because when we don't value our emotional well-being, sometimes we can tip into being mentally unwell, yeah? So common problems, really, are where low mood becomes depression or where everyday concerns become a more consistent state of anxiety. And sometimes people worry that they can't get better and you're not going to get better. But I think it's important to know that you can. That from all mental health conditions, there are treatments, there are therapies, there's the Lord, obviously there's healing, but there's, you know, the Lord heals through all those other things too, and medications sometimes too. So there are always ways. Now, there's a lot of stigma attached to talking about mental health and emotional health even as well. Less so using the word emotional, but once you start using the word mental, then people have certain ideas about that and can categorise other people or they can categorise themselves. And I think it's important not to have a fixed mindset about this, not to be fixed in our thinking, but to recognise that there are different seasons in life where we can move between things. So it's important to, you know, if we feel things are getting bad, that we do go to the doctor and we do get help. Because improving our mental health is possible. So no matter where we are on the continuum, we benefit from taking care and ownership of our emotional health. Joyce Meyer speaks about not just allowing our minds to wander. Now, it's interesting because research says the human mind tends to pay more attention to negative events than to positive. You know, we tend to hold on to negative memories more than positive ones, tend to hold on to negative thoughts and feelings more than positive ones. And that's just how we seem to be. So that means it does require that. Requires a bit of effort, and obviously, if people's somebody's in a mentally unwell place, it's harder as well to do something about that. It doesn't mean it can't be done, that's different, but it just makes it harder, and you often need support to do it from medical people, not just your friends. Your friends provide one type of role in your life, but actually, other sorts of support you might need, you need people who know what they're talking about. Your friends can be generally supportive. So Len Lance wrote a book called Unjoy, Hope and Help for Christians with Depression. Now, some Christians find it hard to admit that they're depressed because you're supposed to have the joy of the Lord, aren't you? And if you've not got the joy of the Lord, then what are you? Are you a Christian? Well, you might be a depressed Christian. And he's really strong on, he's a psychiatrist, or he might be a psychologist, I can't remember, but anyway, he's a psych something. And he strongly believes in people getting better, you know? That if you're depressed, it's not somewhere that's a great place for you to stay. So there is help to move on the continuum somewhere else. So managing our everyday thoughts and redressing the balance of our thinking is something he talks about. Redressing lies with truths, and we know this is biblically the way forward as well. It's not necessarily the answer to everything, particularly like a very severe illness situation, but for most people, this is a big area that we can really work on. It's good practice for when we're low or anxious. And he talks about biblical affirmations. So I did have some examples, but is that my phone? Is that your phone? Where's my phone? I don't know where my phone's gone. Is it in my pocket? No. Oh, anyway, it's in my bag. Doesn't matter. But I think you will have done this sort of thing before, probably, where you kind of identify maybe what you're thinking about yourself. Let's go for a straightforward one. That you're not, a simple, straightforward one. I'm unlovable, okay? And then it's like, well, what does the Bible say about that, you know? And then give yourself some stuff so that you're then focusing on those things. And then what you can do with those things, you can make them screensavers, you can make a poster, you can do an artwork, you can tattoo it on your ankle, you know, you can do what, you know, there's lots of things you can do with it. And it's a strategy because it's about habit forming as well. So our biblical meditations are important as well. So Philippians 4 says, rejoice in the Lord always. A depressed person loves this verse. I will say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, noble, right, pure, lovely, admirable, excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Now, anxieties plague us all at times. And in Psalm 94, it says, when anxiety overwhelms me, your consolation delights my soul. The Lord longs to bring us consolation and comforts. As we share our anxieties with him, he wants to bring consolation and comforts through those biblical meditations, through those truths, through just touching your heart. Sometimes, you know, you might not be feeling anything. It might be hard to feel God, but it's important to find the consolations in the word as well. Like, we might have a fear of loneliness, and the biblical consolation would be, you know, I'm with you always. And we were singing about that again today. So no one can be with you always except the Lord, knowing you deeply. But he is God with you. And I was watching a video, a Christian minister from the States, and no, from Canada, I think, and she was talking about how this the idea of God being with her all the time really helped her. She went through quite a lot of trauma. But then as she was becoming more well, the idea of God being with her, which I know we know, but really meditating on that, really sitting in that, really dwelling in that, not rushing on to the next thing. You are with me. You understand me. You get it. Is really important. And that really helped her. So with our prayers and petitions, we present those requests to God, and he brings us this peace. Now, it might not be an immediate thing, you know, but I think keeping on is important, keeping on doing it. And thanksgiving for who he is to you. Thanksgiving for his simple provisions, because it says with thanksgiving, doesn't it? thanksgiving for his past support to you. It's like you have to sort of force yourself sometimes to remember the good things, force yourself to remember the good times, force yourself to remember the connection that you have with him at times. Sometimes it comes easy, doesn't it? Sometimes it doesn't. So let's go back to Proverbs, the heart. So watch over your hearts with all diligence, for from it flows the springs of life. So now we only have to Google 10 top tips to have tip-top mental health to find some top tips. And everybody's got them. And you've probably got some. You could probably throw a few out, you know, have a nice warm bath, wear soft pajamas, dance till the moon rises or the sun sets or whatever you might. Well, that would mean you won't get any sleep, so that's not a good one. Just ignore that one. And each one of us is different. And we need to be, firstly, you need to be aware of your emotions. Some people don't know what they're feeling. Well, I'm just me, aren't I? Well, what are you feeling right now? Like nothing. You sure? Some people don't. They don't. You know, you kind of have to tune in. We need to do more of what supports our emotional health. It's like knowing yourself, isn't it? We need to meditate on the good and the true. We need to reinforce rhythms of eating, healthy eating. Doesn't mean you can never have a pie. Mike knows that. Pie Friday, isn't it? Healthy eating, work, rest and recharging, exercise. You know this stuff, but do we do it consistently? We know stuff, don't we? So this is a reminder. Again, it's no guilt trip. It's like finding a rhythm which can, helps you to be well. We need to reinforce those rhythms of eating, work, recharging, exercise. There are lots of different kinds of exercise we can do, not just yoga. Gratitude and appreciation, really small things. I'm moving on now, I'm getting to the end, don't worry. So noticing things. Sometimes people don't notice things. I make myself notice the roses outside my house. I make myself stop and smell those roses. It says smell the roses, doesn't it? You know, like, oh, you know, you need to stop and smell the roses. I think we do need to stop and smell the roses. We need to notice things. Noticing the sky. Noticing what's happening, smelling things, touching things, connect your body to what's around you, because, you know, it's really important. So actually, some of the, in Celtic Christianity, often, they'll when they go on walks, they're kind of connecting with the Lord. It's not saying, you know, the Lord is the same thing as creation. He's the creator. He's not the creation. But connecting ourselves with the Lord, noticing the Lord in creation, the beauty of God, how it's expressed. That's really important. I love touching stuff. Like, I will touch hedges and touch trees and let the rain fall on my face or walk past things, because I actually really like that. I like the feeling of things, you know. It might not be everyone's cup of tea, but it actually helps me feel good. And it's important that we stay in community, that we have a variety of friends, that we don't just have, like, a focus on one or two. But we have a variety of friends who might have different perspectives to us, perhaps even. And just a mix, you know, it's good for us to mix, to have a different kinds of friends. And it's important that we're part of church. It's important that we're part of a faith community that loves the Lord. And also that we look outward, that we're kind to others. We're not just looking at ourselves. So let's just bring it to an end now with 1 Peter 5:7. It says, give all your worries and cares to God, for he cares for you. And I think that verse, you know, cast your cares on the Lord, has always been a bit problematic, because it's like you kind of think, well, how do I do that? You know, I can't just throw all my worries on the Lord. Well, it doesn't mean it's like a one-off. Just chuck them on God and you're done, sorted. It's a process of praying, sharing your life with God and recognizing that he carries our burdens alongside and for us as well. So the unloading can be continuous. So I'm just going to pray now. and praying as well that we don't get sidetracked onto things that were an issue, you know, that we need to focus back on the Lord, that he's bothered about us, that it's important that we care for ourselves. It's important that we have rhythms and practices which we know are going to build us up in God. And as we're built up in the Lord, then our emotional well-being will benefit. Okay. In Psalm 103, it says, he knows the weakness of our frame. But he's given us this power through the Holy Spirit to be strengthened in him. So, Lord Jesus, we want to bring our lives to you, Lord. And as we've brought our lives to you already this morning and worship you, we say you're number one, Lord. And I thank you, Lord, that you say that you love us and that we're important and valuable to you. So, Lord, train us. Help us to be trained to care for ourselves as you care for us, so that we can also care for others, that we could be strengthened in our inner person to know you more deeply. Thank you, Lord. So we've got a song now which I want us to listen to as we take communion. So in communion, we know the Lord's made a way where there wasn't a way. And I think as you take communion, we take it with thankfulness, but also just bring before him any areas which you need to, recognizing that he wants to move us, we're not in a stuck place, yeah? He wants to move us to a place of greater connectedness to him. So